Open your Bibles, if you will, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. Going to read a portion of Scripture that you're probably very familiar with. Probably won't be long this morning. We'll gather in fellowship, but we have words here that are full of power, full of promise for the people of God. The Bible is full of a lot of character. And the Bible is a book that's very honest about characters. The reason it's very honest about characters and pointing out not only the great things it did for God, but also their failures and their shortcomings, is that we might learn by their examples. As a matter of fact, the Bible in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says that all the things that happened to Israel in the Old Testament happened unto them to be examples as to us, that we might learn from the things they experienced, that we might not make the same mistakes. Wouldn't it be great if human nature was so? But it's sad for me to report to you this morning that it is not so. At least as far as this world is concerned. Amen? We learn very little from history. We learn very little oftentimes from our failures and the things that have brought us down in the past. But we who are called the people of God certainly should learn from not only our own mistakes, but from those of the Bible who made mistakes, that we might not make them, that we might be stronger, and we might thus be used of God in the way that He would desire to use us. This morning we're going to talk about Simon Peter, one of the great men of the Bible. But the portion of Scripture we're going to read this morning is probably the portion of Scripture that when you think about Simon Peter, you think about him most of all in the area in which he denied the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning for just a few moments about being caught in the devil's sifter. Being caught in the devil's sifter. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 22, let's begin reading in verse number 28, if you will. Notice these words. Now this is the night before Jesus is going to Calvary. He's going to be taken prisoner while it is yet dark. He'll be placed upon the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. Verse 28, Jesus said, "Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations, in my trials. And I appoint unto you a kingdom as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Now, boy, that's what they wanted to hear, I want you to know. But look at verse number 31. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," anytime God uses your name twice, it's an interesting study through the Bible of the times that God uses names twice, He's doing it for the purpose to try to get your attention. It used to be that way when Mom and Daddy spoke. When they spoke once, you were forewarned. When they spoke a second time, it was too late. And so he says, "Simon, Simon, pay attention. Listen to what I'm about to say." Because you know he's rejoicing in the fact that the Lord had just revealed to him he's going to sit on a throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel during the millennium with the Lord Jesus Christ and David. Oh boy, that's the best thing a Jewish man could hear. Here's what Jesus said. "Behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, turned around, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death." And he said, Jesus said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Wow. You know what a sine wave is? It's a wave of sound or light that goes up and down like a wave of the sea. Isn't that what we see in these verses that I've read unto you this morning? We see the grand peaks of glory of ruling and reigning with Christ, and instantly in the next verse, we're brought to the very low point of that which we really are and that which we are capable of doing in our life. Now listen, dear friend, if you've been a Christian very long, you've been through that. You understand that today you may be walking on the mountaintop shouting the victory, but tomorrow you might be down in the valley, dear friend, having the most difficult time you faced. Amen. Now, life is that way a lot in the natural and the secular mode, but it certainly is so in the spiritual also. And so, we find in Peter, and this is what I want you to focus on this morning, somebody that not only caught the eye of the Lord Jesus Christ, but he'd also caught the eye of the devil. That's what we're going to study. Now, I want you to know this morning that God loves you and God wants you. I don't have to know your past. I don't have to know anything about you to know that, because that's what the Word of God says. That's not my preconceived idea, something that I've made up to try to convince people to go to church or to make them like me. That's what the Bible says. Paul said that I am the chiefest of sinners. Amen. He understood that well. That'll help keep us in our place. Huh? Amen. But I want you to know this morning, dear friend, that if God has a desire for you, the devil also has a desire for you. And the devil saw certain things in Peter's life that caught his eye. Now, just as God has an eye on you to use you, so the devil has an eye on you to use you. And I want to tell you, whenever we come to church or out in life, my friend, we have the opportunity and we'll find ourselves in a place of either being used for God or being used for the devil. And that's exactly what he saw in old Peter. Amen. And we use this a lot of times to make ourselves feel better because Peter denied the Lord. And we'd like to say, you know what? If I'd have been there, I wouldn't have denied the Lord. You better be careful what you're saying. I won't tell you why. The devil just might have his eye on you this morning. Amen. And so it's an interesting study to study the life of Peter. Amen. And we look at what happened just in the days, weeks previous to this night, and we look at Peter and we try to see things that maybe the devil saw that he could use. Boy, we see in Mark chapter 8, him making that great confession when Jesus said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they named some of the prophets and some of the preachers and John the Baptist and the Christ. And Jesus said, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter was the one that stepped forward and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hadn't revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven revealed that unto you." And that's when he said, "And thus I say, thou shalt be called Peter." See, his natural name wasn't Peter. His spiritual name was Peter, amen. His natural given name by his daddy was Simon, a New Testament equivalent of the Old Testament name Simeon, amen. But the Lord called him Peter, amen. That little stone. Amen. Hard to move a big one, but it's easy to move a little one, isn't it? Amen. And so he was known thus, and we talked to him as Simon Peter. But here he says, not Peter, Peter, but he says, Simon, Simon. Because no sooner had Peter made that great confession, "Thou art the Son of the living God," that Jesus began to talk about going to Jerusalem, being crucified. And Peter turned around and said, "Not so, Lord. Not long as I'm alive, it ain't going to happen." Jesus in that very moment turned to him and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of man." So, dear friend, you can be used of God one minute, you can be speaking for God one minute, and the very next minute you can be used of the devil and be talking for the devil. And so when we look at Peter this morning, we need to understand that, friend, what happened to Peter was not unique to Peter, but it's unique to all of the people that God would have a desire to use. Say, "Well, I'm not interested in being used of God." Then you're probably not going to have to worry about the devil fooling you, because he's not going to worry about you either. And then sometimes he will, because he just might see something in you as he did Peter. And then Peter later went up unto the Mount of Transfiguration. There he saw the Lord Jesus transfigured before him, and the glory of his Godhead broke through that body of flesh, and he began to shine. There upon that mountaintop, Elijah and Moses appeared with him. Peter said, man, this is good. Let's build some booths. Let's build some tabernacles here that we might stay upon this mountain here. Amen. Then a voice came from heaven that said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Listen, you can't put Jesus on the same level with Elijah and Moses, the two greatest prophets of the Jews. Amen. Now, dear friend, he's much greater, much higher and above them. And as they stood there and talked, Moses and Elijah talked with Jesus about his death that was going to come. Amen. And so Peter was quick to speak, and many times he said good things and great things, but many times he said things that opened himself up, my friend, the opportunity to be used by the devil. And because of that, dear friend, we know that Satan put his eye upon him. And so we see during the gospel that Jesus is being tutored by Jesus, amen, taught by him, learning these lessons. In the book of Acts, we again see Peter in the second phase of his life, and we see him in the training stage, where he not only is being trained, but he's training others also in the furtherance of the gospel unto the ends of the world. Then in the last part of the Bible, we find the first and the second epistles of Peter, where Peter, the tutored one and the training one, has become the teaching one, amen. And he can write and say, I want to tell you these great truths of God, not only because of what the Word of God says, but I can tell you that they're so because I've lived through these things and I have experienced them. Amen. Glory to God. And so you and I go through phases of life, amen, where sometimes we do good and sometimes we don't do so good, amen. But I'm glad to know, amen, that the devil picks on me and picks on you because God has seen something in us that he desires to use. And I want you to know that that's where you are this morning and me. And let's just study this thought about getting caught up in the devil's sifter. Now, what made me think about this? I remember when days weren't so good as they are today. I remember when the flour that you bought off the shelf of the grocery store or got somewhere else was not pre-sifted. Amen. I remember when my mama and my grandmama, more especially, I better not talk about mama, I get in trouble, but my grandmother had a thing called a sifter. And you would pour flour in that thing, and she'd get over a bowl, and it had a crank on it. And she would crank it, and there was a little metal wire that went around in there, and it would tumble that flour around, and it would break up the lumps and the clumps, and there was a screen in the bottom under there that piece of wire raked, and it would cause the flour that did pass through to be finely sifted, amen. And what that sifting did to that flour was it made it usable, because people don't like biscuits. It's got big white clumps and lumps in them, amen, like eating lumpy oatmeal, even though I liked them when I was a kid. Kind of like them lumps now, but most people don't like that, amen. It made the flour usable. You buy it today, you don't worry about sifting your flour, but there was a time when we did. And amen, it happened in the days of Christ when people sifted their wheat, amen, to separate the wheat from the chaff, amen, and then to make that which they ground up usable by shaking it, amen, over a screen and things in order to make that wheat usable unto them. And so we see here, dear friend, that that's exactly what the devil desires to do for us. Notice the devil's desire here. First of all, what did he say his desire was? He said in verse number 31 that Satan hath desired to have you. He's desired to have you. Friend, that is Satan's desire today. But now, I want you to understand that Satan works at one end of the spectrum and God works at the other. God desires to have you because God loves you, and God proved that He loved you when He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. That's what the Bible says. But the devil, on the other hand, he, at the other end of the spectrum, doesn't want to have you, desire to have you because he loves you, but he desires to have you that he might use you, or at least make you unusable to God, and that he might utterly, my friend, destroy you. I want to tell you some of the saddest people that I've ever met in my life were people who were saved, who allowed themselves to be put into a position of not being usable to God. There were people who were depressed. There were people who were oppressed. There were people who were miserable because they'd allowed the devil to do that in their lives. Amen. Amen. And I want you to know this morning, somebody has a desire to have you. Amen. The Lord and the devil. You must understand that if there is a God in heaven, then there is a devil who will reside in hell for eternity. And that now he's the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, and that his desire is to use you. His desire, dear friend, is to have you in order that he might get you away from God. Why else would he want him? Amen? Amen. Now, something interesting about this verse, where he says, Satan hath desired to have you. You study that word later on and look it up in the concordance and the Greek dictionary, you're going to find that word you is plural. He's not just saying, Simon, God has desired, Satan has desired to have you alone, but he's looking at the whole group and he said, Simon, Simon, pay attention. Satan has desired to have you all, as we Southerners say. Why would he desire to have you all? Because they were disciples of Christ. He wasn't worrying about the Pharisees. He had them in their religious lost condition. Amen. He wasn't worrying about the harlot or the drunkard of this world. He had them in their lost dark sin. Amen. He was worried about getting the disciples of God, those that had the power of God, those that had the truth of God, to render them, my friend, null and void and unusable by God. So Satan had desired to have. I could say to you this morning, dear friend, in this context, that we also fall in that as the disciples of Christ, that he has a desire to have us in that plural word. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 says, Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He just walking around looking for somebody that he could devour, and he thought he found somebody named Simon that he could devour. You look in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 29, later on, the Bible is going to talk about the children of Israel being delivered from Egypt through the Red Sea. The Bible says there that Pharaoh and his armies essayed or attempted to do the very same thing when they went through, they got drowned. That word drowned is the same word that is translated devour in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It means, dear friend, to be swallowed up by something. Just as the armies of Egypt were swallowed up by the Red Sea, so the devil as a roaring lion walks around just looking for somebody, dear friend, that he can swallow up. You better not ever get to the position to think that that ain't you. Amen. Because that is the very position that Simon Peter was in. Now, I just want you to notice two things, what we learn from the words of the Lord Jesus here. First of all, the permission that is needed for Satan to sift you. Now, I've met so many people in the last 30 years who don't know whether to blame bad things on the devil or on God. Now, really, I've met church deacons. I told you about a tornado blowed away his barn. He told me in Sunday school, I don't know who to blame, God or the devil. I said, well, it doesn't make no difference. Your barn's gone, ain't it? But I'll tell you this. The Bible said in James chapter 1, every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights above, in whom is no shadow nor variableness determined. So if you've got anything good in this life, I'm going to tell you where it come from. It come from the God. Amen. Amen. But I do want you to understand that Jesus is telling Peter here that Satan has desired to have you. I've been made aware of this. And I'm going to let him have you. Now, that's sobering. You see, that's the very reason a lot of people don't want to be committed to God. They're afraid they get committed to God that Jesus would do the same thing to them. Well, he's going to put me in a position that's going to be bad. I don't want to be in that. Huh? I mean, after all, I got saved to be rich, to have plenty of money. I got saved to be healed, to have, everything that I need and to have a good, happy life. I didn't get saved to have problems and troubles and turmoils. You need to read the Bible. You're going to find anybody ever try to live for God in the Word of God. Now, the television tells you different today. But the Word of God will tell you the truth, amen. And everybody, Paul writing Timothy said, Yea, all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. They will have some difficult times, amen. Thank God. He said he'll never leave us or forsake us, amen. But I want you to understand something this morning. If you get caught in the devil's sifter, it's because he has gone... He has seen something in you that is opposite of what God feels about you. And has gone before the Lord to make his case, and thus the Lord has said, Okay, devil, that's what you think. I think differently about it. I think differently about Peter, Satan. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to let you put him in your sifter. I'm going to let him get caught up in there. Now, isn't that the very same thing that happened to old Job? Boy, you read that account and you look and you see that there came a time when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and God himself looks and addresses Satan. It's not Satan who initiates that conversation. And he says, Satan, whence comest thou? And he tells him where he come from, wandering up and down in the earth, to and fro in it. And he said, while you were down there on planet earth, did you happen to observe or consider my servant Job? Job says, yeah, as a matter of fact, God, I have observed him. And God described him. He's one that escheweth evil and fears God, raises his family right and lives for me. Have you consider him while you're down there? He said, yeah, God, I looked at him, but I won't tell you, I don't see him the same way that you look at him. But what I see is a man that simply serves you because you've just blessed him so tremendously. I tell you what, God, you just cut the blessings out. You take his money and his family and all that he has, and he said, I won't tell you. Oh, Job will cuss you to your face. So you know what happened? God gave him permission. He said, okay, Satan, I'll tell you what, because I believe different about old Job, and I believe that he's going to be used in a different way. He said, I'm going to allow you to put him into your sister. But he said, you go ahead and take all that he has, but he said, you can't touch his body. See that permission? He can only go so far. Now, when that happens in our life, we have one of two choices. We can either be spiritual enough, strong enough, mature enough to understand what's happening in us, or else we're going to get mad at God, one to the other. And how many times have I seen people in church get mad at God because of something that's happened to them? Amen? Yeah. And so we see that God allowed that. Whenever he lost all of his riches, when he lost his family, his children, dear friend, in tragedy, Job was still maintained his integrity, the Bible says. Didn't work. Chapter number 2, Satan comes again. God once again initiates the conversation. Well, what did you learn about Job while you was down there, Satan? He weren't quite the weak man you thought he was he? Listen, God, skin for skin. Man will do anything to save his hide. He said, you just let me touch his body, and he'll cuss you to your face. God said, I don't think so. See, friend, I want to tell you what God desires to use you and I to do. That's to prove the devil a liar. Son, this world's so full of lies, and the world rather believe them than the truth. The world wants you, God wants you and I to prove to this world that the devil is a liar. He's looking for somebody. And Job was a man that he could do that with. And so he said, I tell you what, you touch his body, but I'm not going to allow you to take his life. I'm not going to allow you to kill him. God could have done that. But he didn't. You see, friend, there is permission that is needed for the devil to have opportunity in your life. Amen. And so you need to understand that when something happens bad in your life, that it's beyond your control, that you don't see any reason why it should have happened, that, friend, it happened, but God allowed it to happen for a reason and a purpose. So cling on to that promise that he has for us. Amen. The devil can't do anything unless God gives him permission. Whatever you do, don't get mad. Not only that, we see the protection that is pleaded. He said, but I have prayed for you. Same context. Friend, you ever stop to think the Lord Jesus is praying for you? Huh? The Bible pictures Jesus in heaven several different ways, one sitting, one standing. The Bible says that he sits there at the throne of God to make intercession for you and me. What's intercession? It's prayer. It's advocacy. That's exactly what he's doing. And the reason that you and I can get caught in the devil's sister and it never be anything that we have done personally is because the devil has got his eye on us and God has chosen to use us as we go through this, not, my friend, to bring pleasure to the devil, but to bring glory to him. There he is praying for it. Peter, I want to tell you the devil has desired to have you, but I want you to understand that I have prayed for you. And friend, after all of his trials, Peter could write about the protection that God had given him in his life. Oh, he could have been defeated and discouraged, amen, and in despair. But friend, he came to understand something. In his first letter, chapter 1, verse 5, listen to what he said. We who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. He said, I want to tell you, I've been through a whole lot of things, and some of them I didn't think I was going to come out of. But he said, I've been kept by the power of God. Praise God, when you go through those things, He's there with us, amen, to keep us. So Satan's desire this morning is to have you. Satan's design in having you is that he may sift you. One reason right off the bat that I could see that he would want Peter was simply because Peter was the leader of this group. Now, friend, you need to understand something. The devil works hard on preachers, teachers. Why do you think we've seen a whole lot of the things in these days in which we live? And nothing he'd rather add to his a notch in his gun than that of a preacher, amen. A teacher of the Word of God. And so that word sift here literally means to shake for the purpose of sifting as one would that flour in order to separate the good from the bad. Huh? Now, why would the devil want to sift us? I want to tell you. Just as that sifter revealed the lumps in that flour, so, dear friend, when we fall into the devil's sifter and get caught in it, it reveals the bad things about us, and that's what the devil wants to focus on. So here he desires to have Peter that he might shake him, amen, and put him through that sifter, that the bad things of Peter, amen, might be exposed in that sifter, that he could show them to God and say, look here, God, this is what old Peter is. He's not worth using. He's not worth having. And do the very same thing on Peter's part so that he might feel like he could never be used to God. Amen. I don't know anything about you this morning. I don't know your bad parts. I don't know things that only you know and nobody else knows. Amen. But I want you to know that God knows them. Amen. That God's aware of them. Amen. And He wants us to see those things sometimes that we might come to understand that in our own strength and power as Peter, we can't do anything. But whenever we surrender ourselves such as we are unto Him, God can use us. Amen. Amen. So His design, dear friend, is to sift you. How does he do that? First, he does it by shaking us. If he can shake us, then he can scare us. Sometime all the devil has to do is go boo, and God's people run. Amen? If he can shake us, he can scare us. And if he can scare us, then friend, he can separate us like that sifter. Now you see, God desires to separate us. The Bible teaches biblical separation. Not isolation, but it teaches separation. Why? Because that separation enables us to be used of God, so the devil desires to separate us unto him that we might be used of him. Why do you think churches have so many fusses and fights? I mean, if you've lived any span of time, you've been aware of churches that have just had knocked down, drag out fights, amen. I won't tell you why. Some people let God use them, some people let the devil use them. I'm talking about some people that are people of God, too. Amen. I can name you a bunch of them in the Word of God. If he can shake us, he can scare us. If he can scare us, dear friend, he can separate us in the opposite direction that God would not be able to use us, but that he could. And after he separates us, and his desire is to shelve us. Amen. Paul talked about that. God using him as he had in times past, Paul being allowed to be put in position so that God would put him on a shelf and never use him again. That's what the devil wants to do. Once you get saved, friend, the devil can't get a hold of your soul. You've got eternity because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to tell you this, you can sure lose your position, your power, amen, and your calling before God that he would desire to use you in by allowing yourself to get caught up in the devil's sin. There's a purpose in that, but you don't want to get caught up in it, amen. You want to go through it with the purpose of coming out of it. Coming out of it. What a tragedy that would have been for that to happen to Peter. Now, why did Peter get caught in Satan's sifter? First of all, because he was saved. Nothing the devil would rather have than a saved person to use. And I've seen many used in my day. He chose Peter because Peter thought he was strong. Boy, whenever you think that you're above being tested by the devil, when you're above being deceived, when you're above, my friend, being used of the devil, then you're just in the right position for him to come along your way. Peter thought he was safe. Why, here's a man that's walking with the Lord. How could anything bad happen to him? Isn't that the way we are? I mean, we'll go through life and we'll say, boy, I tell you, I go to church, I'm faithful, I give, I love the Lord. I'm a walking with the Lord. There ain't nothing going to happen to me. You might better rethink that. You might not be as safe in that sense, amen, no more than what Peter thought. Well, can you just put yourself in his place and say, well, man, you know, I'm with the Lord. I've seen him walk on water. I've seen him open the eyes of the blind, heal the lame, the legs of the cripple. Amen. I've seen him raise at least 4 people from the dead. Why, even heal my own mama, Lord? Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I'm walking with the Lord. Jesus says you're going to walk. You're going to sit on one of the 12 thrones judging the tribes of Israel. All right. I'm saved. And immediately Jesus says, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you to set you free. Wait a minute. Let's talk about that right now. Even if it could happen, this is just too good what you've been talking about. No, you need to be aware of something. Whenever you think you're your strongest, that's whenever the devil's going to have his eye on you. When you think you're the safest, you never think, my friend, that there's not something that can happen in your life to totally change everything around when you fall into the devil's system. Peter thought he was special. Jesus had a problem with 3 individuals. There was Peter and there were James and John, sons of thunder. And they went to Jesus one time, sent mama to say, when you come in your kingdom, let my son sit on your right hand, on your left hand. You know that. And every time Jesus would say, you've got to understand something. To be big in the kingdom, you're going to have to be a little man. The paradox of the kingdom. Amen? They thought they were special. Boy, how many special people have I known in church? Boy, they were the loudest talking. They were the biggest braggers on the Lord. Oh, boy, the Lord is so good to me. And, oh, I just thank God for this and that and the other. And, son, let the circumstances change and let them get caught up in that sifter. And, friend, you find out, you know what, that person I thought was so special weren't so special. What revealed that? I want to tell you what revealed that. The sifter did. Amen. Now, why does God allow us to go through that sifter sometime? Because sometime, and usually the reason we're going through it, the only way for us to get through that sifter is we have to be crushed. You see, we got that big hard-headed lump hung up in that sifter. Old grandma, she'll turn that thing, flour will sift through, and all of a sudden there's a lump. You crush that thing a little bit, turn that wheel a little bit more, it'll finally get fine enough to pass on through that sifter. You see, the Lord allowed Peter to go through this sifter to crush those things in his life that later would hinder him if they were to come out after Jesus was gone. Yeah, Peter denied Jesus 3 times. I want you to find anywhere else in Scripture where he ever denied Jesus again. Matter of fact, secular writings tell us that whenever the Romans desired to kill Peter, he said, I'm not worthy to die as my Lord, and he asked them to turn the cross upside down. They crucified his wife before they crucified him. He didn't deny the Lord. The day of Pentecost, when he had reason to fear all the Jews, friend, he stood up and preached a sermon. 3,000 men got saved, including women and children. I'm going to tell you why. The Lord allowed him to go through that sifter. Go through that sifter. Thank God he didn't get caught in it. Oh, listen, I want to tell you where he got crushed. There he was. The Bible says all the disciples forsook him. Peter followed afar off so he could see what was going to happen because he still thought he was this great Samson that was going to crush the Romans, Herod. And he looked. Warming himself by a fire, a little girl asked him, you're one of them. One of his disciples. No, I'm not. Oh, yeah, your speech betrays you. You're one of them. No, I'm not. You're wrong. He was asked another time, and he went so far to be so emphatic that he cussed. He cursed to try to convince them that he was not a disciple of Christ. About then, the rooster crowed. You know what the Bible tells us happened when that rooster crowed? Simon looked at Jesus. And when he looked at Jesus, Jesus was looking at him. Have you ever been somewhere and you just feel like somebody's looking at you and you turn around and sure enough, there's somebody over here that you know that's been staring at you? Oh, you know that feeling. Can you imagine the feeling of the Lord of glory? And Peter, as he looks at him. Friend, it wasn't a look of disgust. It wasn't a look of dejection and hatred. But it was a look of sifting. And the Bible said right after that, that Peter went out and wept bitterly. What happened when he went out and wept bitterly? My friend, he was crushed. Crushed. That's when you weep bitterly. And the results, my friend, of that sifting was that something happened to him that he would never, ever allow to happen to him because God allowed him to go through this. He was so crushed and so devastated that after Jesus came out of that grave, he appeared unto them in the upper room. He told those, even before he appeared, said, go tell my disciples and Peter. He appeared in that room. No direct conversation, no addressing of Peter directly. After that appearing, after the resurrection, and the convincing power that he had to see, Peter looked at the other disciples and said, I'm going fishing. That's what he did before he got saved and called to the Lord to be a fisher of men. He went out and got in the ship, and the others said, well, we're going too. You see, he was a leader. Why do you think the devil wanted to sift him? They said, well, Peter, if you're going fishing, we're going to go fishing too. You're the leader of this bunch. Here he is. He thinks he cannot be used of God. He's absolutely crushed. He's out there trying to catch something to eat, so desperate that he's even shed his clothes. The boat naked, the Bible says. Then he hears a voice from the shore in the darkness. Little children, I remember the words of John. Have you any meat? Have you got any food? No, we don't have any. Well, cast your net on the other side of the boat. Peter looked, saw who it was. The Bible says he immediately dove into the water. Friend, he didn't wait to turn that thing, to catch no wind or to do no rowing. He dove in that water and he swam to the shore to meet Jesus. Jesus already had bread and fish on fire. He don't have to fish that fish. He made fish. Amen. He can multiply fish. He can make fish. Not a problem to him. Here they sit eating, not a word being said. Jesus looks at him and says, Simon, Simon, same thing. What a reminder. Love us. Thou, me, more than thee. Oh boy. Oh boy. Well, you're not going to say, Lord, no, I don't love you, would you? But you know at that time he had to look at his own heart and say, now, I do love the Lord, but now he looks at me and knows what I've done that I've denied him three times, right in front of him. He's going to say, now, you don't love me. You denied me. But he goes ahead and he says, yeah, Lord, I love you. You know the experience of the three times. Just as he denied him three times, he acknowledged him three times in his love for him. And then the Lord tells him about what's going to happen to him. Listen, friend, had he not gone through that sifting, he'd have never been the great man of the gospel that he became in the books of Acts. He'd have never been the great teacher that we find him in 1 and 2 Peter. Oh my. You see, he didn't get caught up. He passed through it. A lot of us go through the sifter. We get caught up. The devil's got that lump and he's able to use that old lump. Amen. Let's let the Lord crush us and pass us on through. We see Satan's desire. We see Satan's design. But we also see Satan's defeat. I'm going to rush. Praise God, he ain't going to win. The sooner you learn that, the sooner you get that through your head, the better off you'll be. Why is he not going to win? Because the Lord is praying for him. He said, I have prayed for you. Man, that's going to help us defeat the devil. You see, what we need on our part, since the Lord's praying for us, and we know how effectual that is, what we need is CPR in our life. At the fire department, many other places, we're taught CPR. It stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. We need CPR in our lives. C standing for commitment. That's what we need. That's what Peter needed out of this experience. Amen. That's what he produced. Commitment. Second thing we need, dear friend, to defeat the devil is prayer. Prayer. How many times have we talked to God? Huh? How many times have we come before Him? James said, you have not because you ask not. Amen. The R that we need is resistance. Resistance. Resistance before this world, resistance before the devil. Why do you think God's people are pictured as sheep in the Bible? Because sheep are so weak, that's why. You'll never find any more person more gullible in this world than a child of God. Let me just tell you right now. I'm talking as one who's been through it. Amen. I have bitten off, my friend, and been fooled by people so much in my life when I was convinced that I knew this individual, that I knew what they were. And here I am fooled. Boy, that's an embarrassing thing. You don't tell you why? Boy, we gullible. That's why we need the Lord praying for us. And that's why we need spiritual CPR in our lives. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh unto God and he'll draw nigh unto you. Amen. But you're not worried about that this morning. The reason you're not worried about it is because you don't think you're going to get caught up in this sifter. Amen. Well, we need to remember. We need to return. We need to resist, just like old Peter did. My. What a time God had with him. But my. What God did with him. Oh, preacher, I don't want that to happen to me. But I want to tell you something. Chances are you'll never be used to God. You're not willing to go through what Peter went through. That you come out the other side, dear friend. Be somebody that is finer, like that flower. And be somebody that is usable of God. Amen. Well, preach, I just come here this morning to be in church and let the Lord know I'm loving him. Here you preach. I mean, I don't want to get involved. Well, you ought to want to get involved. You ought to say this morning, Lord, what would you have me do? That's what Paul said. God, is there something you would like for me to do? Amen. Boy, I won't tell you. When you do that, you get the ear of the Lord. But understand this. You get the ear of the devil too. Uh-oh. There's another Simon Peter. Somebody wants to be used to God. I better do what I can to trip them up. I'm going to go to the Lord and see if I can't get the old sifter out. Well, you understand this and rejoice this morning. God will never allow you to go through that sifter till you're ready for it. He'd have never allowed that to happen to Peter if he didn't already know what was going to happen when he come out the other side and see the glories of the day of Pentecost. You know what Jesus said when he was in that upper room with him? He said, you've seen what I've done. But he said, I want to tell you something. You that follow me are going to do greater works than I have done. Will you imagine that? He walked on water. He healed so many people. So many great and wonderful things happened in the short 3.5 year ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth. He said, you're going to do greater works than me. Friend, the very Son of God walked this earth and preached for 3.5 years. When it was all said and done, he had 120 disciples in an upper room on the day of Pentecost. Peter preaches one sermon and 3,000 men get saved. Women and children, there would have been over 5,000. Preaches the next day, the same thing happens and more people get saved. That's what the Lord is talking about. We got people walking around today and they claim to have a gift of healing. Boy, we'll do this for you. And if you'll just send some money, I'll send you this cloth. I'll send you this rag. I'll send you this oil. And boy, God will heal you all because he said we'll do greater works than he did. That ain't what he's talking about. He came to heal you spiritually. God may heal you physically sometime. He does, thank God. That's why we spend time to pray. That's why I've got that little bottle of oil on that pulpit. Yes. But I want to tell you the best thing happened to you today. You get healing inside. That'd be the best thing that happened to you and me. Amen. Sometime, friend, I'm down here. I'm going through a sifter. Praise God, sometime I'm up here when I pass through it. Amen. And I'm always a little bit better. I ain't proud for how I acted while I was in that sifter. No more than Peter was proud when he was in that sifter. But friend, if you're a child of God, it's going to happen to you. It's going to happen to you. I pray that you understand two things. Number one, Jesus is praying for you. Number two, you'll come out the other side before long. Just hang on. It's like Mississippi weather. Just hang on, and it's going to change for you. Amen. Ain't God good. Ain't God good. Let's stand dismissed. We'll go eat. Our Father, thank you so much for this day to open the Word of God once more, that we might realize that our Father, though we love you, though you love us with such a great love and everlasting love, because we have such good things, we have to be aware that we live in a world